I want to direct your attention tonight to the verses 22 and 23 of this chapter. Jesus saith unto him, that's to Peter, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? I want us to think tonight of the importance of giving attention to the little things in the Word of God. How important are the details of Scripture? Is it enough for us to merely get a general overview of the Word of God? That's important. I think that it's one of the great lacking things in the Church of Christ today, that the children of God do not have an overview of what the Bible teaches. They don't have, if you like, a bird's eye view of Scripture. They don't know what the Word of God teaches from cover to cover. And it is important for us to have a general overview of the Word of God. But we should never be content with that kind of a view. It is important to know the general theme and message of the Word of God, but I believe that it is of great importance that we give attention to every little detail that the Word of God sets before us. Now, the Word of God sets before us the importance of the words of Scripture. I think of the words of Proverbs chapter 30 and the verse 5, where it says this, every word of God is pure. There are very many scriptures of that nature that cause us to reflect upon the importance of the actual words. Now this goes contrary to the philosophy of most modern translations, for instance, today, where it's not so much the words they're interested in, as they put it, it's the thought behind the word. But it's the word that is all important. It's the word that God used that we should pay attention to. And a verse like Proverbs 30 and 5 draws our attention to the importance of the individual words. Every word, all the words of God are pure. Then if we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, you'll find that the Holy Ghost draws our attention to even smaller details than the words, because our attention is to be drawn to the letters themselves. In 2 Timothy 3, in the verse 15, we know the words well, I'm sure. Paul, speaking of Timothy, says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The word that is translated, scriptures there, is literally the word letters. And Paul is speaking not so much about the words or not about the books or chapters, but he is speaking about the letters of the Word of God. The letters are sacred, he says. They are the holy letters. And our attention is focused even more narrowly upon what God has said. We are drawn right down not only to consider the words, but to consider the letters that compose those words. They are sacred, they are from the Lord. And in the context here, of course, Paul is speaking of the inspiration. The inspiration of God relates not only to the book and the chapter and the verse and the word, it relates to the letter as well. God has given the letters, and even the letters, according to Paul here, partake of the very nature of God himself. They are holy letters. The details, therefore, will count. The smallest detail of the Word of God is significant. If every letter is holy, if every word is holy and pure, then we should not rest content merely to have a general hazy overview of what we think the Bible teaches, but we should make it our business to study the words. And we should make it even our business, as opportunity is given to us, to study the very letters of the Word of God. But it may surprise you to know that the focus is narrowed even more than that. You might say, well, how do you get any smaller than the letter? How do you get down any further and any closer than the individual letter in the Word of God? Well, let's turn to, again, it's a familiar verse in Matthew chapter 5, and the verse 18. We've read these words a number of times recently in relation to the law of God, and we'll see them in a little more detail as we come to this section of the Sermon on the Mount in our studies on the Lord's Day morning. But let's look at verse 18. For verily, I say unto you, now the Lord Jesus is the speaker. And as if that didn't give authority enough to the words, he begins what he has to say here with the word verily. Verily, truly, it's a sure thing, it's a certain word, and I'm saying it, and I'm saying it to you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. I'm not going to ask how many know what the Lord was talking about. But if we were to take the word jot there, it's the name of one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. It's the smallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It is then here reinforcing upon our mind the simple lesson that we have seen in 2 Timothy 3. The letters are important. And the Lord says not one letter, not one single letter, even the smallest letter. And he's speaking here of the law and of the Old Testament specifically, and he's saying, not even one of the smallest letters will disappear. It will be preserved. It will be kept. It will be fulfilled. And so, he draws our attention again to a letter. This time, it's a single letter. Paul talked about the whole collection of letters. So we have moved from the word to the letter, or to the letters that make up the Scripture. Now we come down to one letter. And the Lord would have us to focus even on smaller detail than that, because when he talks here about the tittle, what that is the name that is given to one part of a letter. It's the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's the equivalent of RB. And there's a little part of that letter. One little ornamentation, one little detail on that letter. But it makes all the difference between that letter and one of the other letters. But if we were to give it an equivalent in English, it would be like the dot of the I. Now, if you saw a word with an I in it, there was no dot in it, you would probably still make sense of it. You would probably never think even about the dot being missing. Sometimes when we're scribbling in a hurry, we never get around even to put the dot on the I. But that's not the way the Lord has written the book. The detail of the Word of God is of significance to us, right down to, if we put it this way, the dot on the I. It's right down to the part of a letter. You see, the details are important. It is important for us to give attention to the details of Scripture. And I want us to learn that lesson tonight, and to learn it from the illustration that is given to us here in John chapter 21. For here we have an incident in the lives of the disciples, an illustration of what happens when the little things, the little details in what Christ has said are neglected. We will see that confusion results. We can see that grave error is a consequence when only a small part of what Christ has said is misheard and misunderstood. Now today is a day of great carelessness about the Word of God. Great carelessness. God's people do not read carefully the Word of God. They do not think that attention has to be paid to the details. They do not think that when they read, for instance, through the Old Testament, and they come to names, and they come to some of those place names that are hard to pronounce, and there are so many details there that to the natural mind, we ask ourselves, why even bother putting those things in? But God has a reason. God has a reason. The details are there for a purpose. And everything that has been written is for our benefit and for our learning. But many of God's people are very lax about reading. If they read the Bible at all, if they read it at all, they read it in the most careless fashion. They do not show any diligence about reading the Word of God to discover what it means, to see how it stands in relation to the rest of the Word of God. Oh, it should be our highest, our greatest, our utmost ambition in life, to know what God has said. And if God says even the parts of the letters, even down to the very tittle on the letter, is important, it's vital, then I think that we are justified in saying that we should give attention to what God has said is important. If the Lord had demonstrated carelessness about those parts of the letter, or that small letter, the yod, the jot, as it's named there in Matthew 5, if the Lord had been careless about those kind of things, then Scripture would be a very different book. But the Lord has not been careless about those things. Rather, he has shown the greatest attention even to the most minute details, and that should inspire us and urge us and exhort us to give attention to what he has said. Too many of God's people speak about the things of Scripture in the glibest fashion. In fact, many of them speak more soberly and seriously about the latest episode of a soap opera than they do about this book that God has given to us, that down to the very letters and the parts of the letters are important and have been given for our benefit. Now the need for careful and diligent attention to what the Lord has said is illustrated for us here in our text for tonight. It's illustrated in a number of different ways. Let's just look at verse 22 and 23 and notice first of all the smallness of the detail that the disciples miss. Because that will cause us to realize, I think, how careful we have to be when we come to read the Word of God. When we see what it was that led to this confusion, or when we see where the disciples went astray, and just how little and minute the detail was that they missed, then I think we will see, yes, we need to be careful about how we read, how we hear the Word of the Lord. It was not some great theological dissertation from the lips of the Son of God that the disciples missed here. It was a single word. In our translation, what they missed is the word if. Now you're going to say that's not a very important word, but it made all the difference in the world to the sense of what the Savior had said. He said, if I will that he tarry till he come, what is that to thee? But they missed the word if, and therefore they went abroad this saying among the brethren that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said, not unto him he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? A single word. In the Greek, just three letters. In our English translation, just two. But when they missed those two letters, or three, as it would have been spoken to them, as they missed that one word, a single little word from the mouth of Christ, and they missed it. And what consequences came from that? What the Savior had said was turned into foolish, meaningless nonsense because they missed one word. How careful we need to be when such a small and seemingly insignificant detail as the word if lead, when that word is overlooked, leads to confusion and error. It can't be missed without grave consequences. You cannot miss a word that the Lord says without there being consequences that flow from that. You need to bear that in mind then as we progress through this tonight. It was just such a tiny detail, just such a little thing. And if such a little thing as the word if made such a difference and was so important, then how careful we have to be in the reading of the Word of God. There are Christians and they read the Word of God and they wouldn't notice if they left out a chapter. They wouldn't notice if they had missed an entire book of the Bible. There are Christians, and if I were to take a pair of scissors and cut the minor prophets out of their Bible, they'd never know they were gone. If I was to cut some sections of the Old Testament out, cut the book of Ezekiel out, they'd never know it was gone. They didn't even know it was there, probably. But the Lord Jesus is impressing upon us here in this record that even one word makes such a difference. We can't miss one word. Oh, that God would write that upon our hearts and give us such a desire to hear the Word of Christ that we will say, Lord, don't let me miss a single word. Don't let me be deaf to a single word. Don't let me misunderstand a single word. even if it's only three letters. I want to hear it. I want to know. That's the kind of diligence that we should have when we come to see the Word of God. But let's notice, secondly, the context in which the error occurred. The context in which they missed this little word. There are a number of features in the context of this incident here that add weight to the caution that we must be diligent and we must be careful as we consider what Christ has to say. Number one, it was a time of close fellowship with the risen Christ. It was a time of fellowship with the Lord. We've read the chapter tonight. We've seen how they had gone fishing. The Lord beckons them to the shore. They sit down around the fire. They eat and they drink with Him. And they know He is Christ. They know this is the Lord. Even though there is some amazement in their heart, and it seems there is unbelief lurking there as well. In verse 12, none of the disciples durst or dared ask Him, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. They had been impressed with the reality of His person. They had known His presence. They had eaten and drunk with Him. They had spent a time of fellowship and communion with the Lord. And in that context, they missed His word. And I think that this enhances the warning to be careful how we hear Christ speak. We can be in His presence. We can enjoy His company. The Lord here would have us to think that these disciples who missed His word weren't the cold-hearted, carnal wretches that were out in the world. They were in His presence. They knew it was the Lord. They had feasted with Him. But still, they missed a word. They still missed it. It's not enough to be in the presence of Christ. It's not enough to have fellowship with Him. Those are blessed things in themselves. But those things don't guarantee that we will hear what Christ has to say. We may come to the house of God, even in our private devotions. We may go into the presence of the Lord and enjoy fellowship with Him. We may come away with our heart warm, having met with the Savior and known His blessing in our hearts. And yet we have missed His word. We have missed what He had to say. Never take it for granted that when you're in the house of God, you'll hear the Savior speak. There must be that constant exercise of diligent ruling in of the mind. As Peter put it, gird up the loins of your mind. There must be that constant attention paid to what Christ has to say, because even in His presence, we could miss something. We could miss something very important. When one word from the Savior was missed, it made all the difference. How important that word was. We could be in the presence of Christ tonight, and you could know in your soul that you're meeting with the Lord and the Lord is speaking to you, and we could still miss a word. That's what happened here to the disciples. How careful we must be. Too often, you know, we think that our work of preparation is over when we get here. Or our work of preparation is over when we find the place in the Bible and we get our eye on the text that's to be preached on. We think, well, it's just a matter now of sitting back and listening. It's just a matter now of sitting back and enjoying the presence of the Lord. But even there, we could miss something. We could miss something very important. It was a time of fellowship with the Savior. But let's notice something else. It was a time when Peter particularly had just made a marvelous confession of his love for Christ. You know the words in verse 15 through 17. And Peter's one of the disciples here who gets it wrong. He's one of the ones who misses the word. But Peter is the one who has confessed. And I'm sure that the other disciples in the depths of their heart confessed with Peter. Because you know, although they hadn't gone quite as far in denying the Lord as Peter had done, yet they too had forsaken the Savior and fled. And I'm sure, under conviction of the Holy Ghost, they would have had to have said in their heart, "Lord, we love You." They would have had to reaffirm their love for Christ at this time. But Peter particularly is in view. And he says, "Lord, Thou knowest. You know, Lord, I love You. You know, Lord, I love You. Lord, You know all things. Thou knowest that I love Thee. I love You more than these, Lord. I love You more than the rest of them that are here." He professes his love in the warmest terms. He repeats his expressions of fervent love for the Savior. He has done this with the passion of a man who is grieved over former sin. You see how he says there, that he was grieved when Jesus said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" Because it brought back memories for Peter. The number three would always be significant for this man. He had denied the Lord three times. Now he must confess his love for the Lord three times. What grieved him was the fact that he had sinned. It brought back the memory of his failure. It brought back the memory of his awful failure and backsliding and sin. And as he confesses his love for Christ, he's saying, "Lord, I'm vexed at my sin." Surely there would have been in the depths of his heart that resolution, "I'll never do that again by the grace of God." He mourns over what he did. He confesses his love for Christ, and still he misses a word. Still he missed part of what the Savior had to say. Well, we can love the Lord. Not a doubt about it. We can love the Lord as fervently as Peter confessed his love for the Lord here. And we may well still miss something that the Lord has to say. We may well still miss a word. Our hearts love him, and yet still we don't pay the attention to what he has to say as we ought. Peter loved the Savior, no question about it. But even though he loved him, he still missed a word. Oh, that the Lord would give us diligence. Even in our love for him, give us diligence for the word. But you will see something else here, that the mistake that is made about this word, the word "if" that is missed, the mistake that is made actually occurs as the Savior is dealing with the issue of his will for the lives of his disciples. Now specifically he's talking about Peter and John. Those are the two disciples now that are in view. But you'll see there in the verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, "If I will," notice those two words, "I will." He's talking about the will of God. He's talking about the purpose of God. And it's in the context of addressing this subject that the word is missed. Now let's look at Peter first of all, because verse 22 is directed to Peter. It's addressed to him. The Lord's talking to Peter. And he's talking to Peter about the will of God for his life. "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Those words are addressed to Peter. And the Savior is speaking here to Peter about the most solemn, the most serious subject that Peter could ever contemplate. The will of God for his life. Still, Peter misses a word. The Lord will graciously recommission Peter as his apostle and disciple in this chapter. He has fallen. But now he is brought back to the office, if you like. And the Savior says, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." And once more he finds himself among Christ's under shepherds. Oh, it's a happy time for Peter. The Lord is addressing the will of God for the rest of Peter's life. "Here's what I want you to do, Peter. Here's how I want you to live." And let me suggest to you that there is no more serious topic, no topic more worthy of our consideration than what God wants us to do. The will of God for your life and for mine, that's the most important subject next to our salvation that we will ever consider. And it is in the context of that that the word is missed. I find that frightening. I do. I find it frightening to think that in my heart there are such forces at work that when the Lord would have something to say to me, to tell me how to live, what to do, where to go, the most vital of subjects, and I may just miss it. I may just miss it. In fact, if we're honest, we're going to say, I'm more likely to miss it than Peter and John were to miss it. Or, well, we shouldn't include John there, because as we'll see in a moment, John didn't mistake the thing. But the other disciples and Peter that were here missed the word, even though it was of the most vital nature. You know, the Lord could have something to say to you tonight about how you're living. He could have something to say to you, and it's as if he's saying now, you know in the depths of your heart, this is my will for your life. You know what I want you to do. And the Lord has something to say, and we could miss it. Something of the utmost importance, and we could miss the word. But then, let's think of John. The words that are mistaken here in the verse 22, though they are addressed to Peter, as I've said, they are actually about John. Peter has turned round and he has seen John and he says, Lord, what's this man going to do? And the Lord says, well, if I will that he, that's John, tarry till I come, what is that to thee? The Lord is speaking about John and he's speaking about his will for John's life too. But John here stands by way of contrast, I think, for John didn't miss the word. John didn't mistake the meaning, because it's John who says at the end of verse 23, "Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee?" See, John heard it. You'll see how what's written there at the end of verse 23 is exactly what the Savior said in verse 22. John heard the words. Because whenever the Lord was talking about his will for his disciples, John was listening. John was listening. And he didn't miss the word. Oh, Peter and the others missed one word. Made all the difference. It made all the difference. How important it is for us to take care, particularly on this subject, how we live is of importance. The will of God for your life and for mine is the most vital matter that we will ever hear. We need to hear. We daren't think about this. Think about it. We daren't miss one word or we'll get it wrong. When you think of it, the word the Savior said, as I've said already, had three letters in it. Those three letters made such a difference. Oh, it's important to take heed to the detail when we're thinking about the will of God for our lives. Then I want you to think of this before we leave this point, that these were men who were right now almost at the very end of their training. The Lord Jesus, within a matter of weeks now, within a few days from this point, is going to ascend back to his Father's right hand. And these men are going to have the responsibility of going out as the apostles of Jesus Christ. They're right at the end of their training. These are men who have heard so much from the mouth of the Savior. What lessons they learned from the lips of Christ. These are men who, by long experience over those 3 or 3.5 years that they were with the Lord Jesus, have learned so much from him. But just think of that. They're experienced in listening to the voice of the Savior and they still miss a word. Oh, we can have listened to the Lord many times. We can have heard him many times before and still miss a word. We can still, though perhaps we would describe ourselves as an experienced Christian, for a long time on the road, the Lord has taught us many things. Carelessness can rob us of a word from the Savior, cause us to miss out on his meaning, cause us to miss out on what he has to say. No matter how much experience we have, we still have to be careful. I don't think that in human terms any of us will ever get as far as the experience that these disciples had at this point after 3 years with Christ. I think that if I was to live 300 years on the earth now, I'd never learn what Peter, James and John learned from the lips of the Son of God as he walked with them. Men of such, in one sense, they were just men, ordinary, failing men. We see that here. But what lessons they had been taught by Christ. Who would not envy them the privilege of walking as they did with the Savior? But if Peter can miss a word, then I think that you and I need to take heed to how we hear. We haven't been anything near the kind of experience that Peter had in the presence of Christ, and he missed the word. We need to bear these things in mind, as I think they reinforce the lesson for us. We must be careful about the little things. Thirdly, let's just notice the greatness of the harm that was caused by this carelessness. You might say, what harm could possibly come from missing three letters? If I was to read all the Bible and miss three letters, what harm could possibly come to me? If I only missed one word of what the Savior had to say, well, surely I would hear enough to get by. Oh, yes, you might get by. But let's just look and see what happened here, because these disciples missed a single word. Just the word if, or its equivalent in the Greek, as they would have heard the Savior speak it audibly. But it's just the word if they missed. Verse 23 explains the consequences of their missing that word. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die. Utter nonsense. That's what they believed. A grievous error was published among the disciples. Now you think of that for a moment. The first thing, they believed something that was nonsense. John's not going to die. That's not what the Lord said at all. It's nothing remotely like what the Lord said. But they believed it. So they believed something that was utter rubbish, utter nonsense. The disciples of Jesus Christ embraced something that was worthless and meaningless. It was published. Look at what it says. Then went this saying abroad. It didn't just stay among those two or three that misheard and didn't pick up on the word that the Savior said. They spread the word. See, here's the danger. And it's increasing. It's bad enough for one individual to miss a word from God, not to hear what the Savior said, and to be deluded about the will of God, to be deceived into believing something that's false, then to spread that, to spread it as it's put here, abroad, and see who's affected by it. The brethren. That's a marvelous title in Scripture, speaking about the family of God. The Lord Jesus describes His family in Matthew 12, and the verse 50, His brothers, His sisters, are those, we are told there, whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as my brother and sister and mother. Now think of that. He's describing, or there is described here, those who are the brethren of Christ, those who do the will of God, those who serve the Lord, and they embrace that which is wrong. Oh, what harm just missing this one word did. When the people of the Lord were deceived. Far and wide they were deceived. Maybe John, for all we know, encountered this error to the day he died. Even as an old man many years later, maybe he still bumped into people who had perpetuated the error. Didn't the Lord say about you, you'd never die? We miss one word from the Lord. We get it wrong. It doesn't just affect me. You think of it in my position. If I get it wrong, it's like what the Savior said there back in Matthew 5:18, like the man who breaks one of the commandments, and then he teaches men to break the commandments. He's the least in the kingdom of heaven. Oh, what a responsibility there is resting upon us to get it right, to listen to the words of Christ and not to mistake them and not to miss them. We'll suffer. The people of God will suffer. Our families will suffer if we miss out on even one word that the Savior speaks. But I think that there's something even more serious if you stop and think about it for a moment. Yes, this foolish notion was spread abroad among the brethren. But think of this. It was spread abroad among the brethren as being the word of Christ. Think of that. That when this saying was reported among the brethren, how would they have reported it? Well, you can imagine quite easily how they would have reported it. Peter told me that the Lord said that John wasn't going to die. It was published in the name of the Savior. Now, that makes it all the worse. Here is error taught as truth, taught as something that came from the very lips of the Son of God. Why? Because somebody misheard. Why is there error today in the Church of Christ? Why are there people of God and are caught up with all the foolish, erroneous heresies that prevail in the Church of Christ today? Why? Because they haven't heard the Word. There's some part of the Word they've missed. I think of Christians that are carried away speaking in tongues. They've missed what the Lord had to say in 1 Corinthians. They're carried away with this doctrine or that doctrine that is an error. Why? Because somewhere along the line there's a book, chapter and verse that they've missed. They've missed the word of Christ. There are men and they stand in pulpits today and they preach. And they preach error. They preach nonsense. They preach that which is utter rubbish. And they preach it because they haven't heard the Savior. They've missed a word. Maybe it's just one word. But it has made such a difference that it turned what the Savior said into nonsense. Many claim today to act as they do on Jesus' authority. Many of God's people do that which is utterly wrong. And they say, oh, the Lord led me to do it. The Lord told me to do it. They can only possibly think that because they misheard what the Savior said. They didn't listen carefully. For if they listened carefully, they never act as they did. The Lord never said anything of the like at all. They misunderstood. They misheard. They didn't pay attention to the details of what He had spoken. One final thing that teaches us here the importance of paying attention to the little things that the Savior says, and it's this. The simple fact that the Holy Spirit is careful to insist upon what Christ did actually say. You see, we're brought back again to what the Lord said at the end of verse 23. Here's the Spirit of God writing through John. Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die. There's the error is kneeled down. No, that's not what the Lord said at all. But if I will that he tarry till I come. What is that to thee? You see that there is repetition here. Why does the Lord repeat it? Because there were some who heard it the first time and heard it wrong. Ever wonder why the Lord repeats himself in the Bible? You ever wonder why, maybe even within the space of a verse or two, the Lord says it over again, very word for word, verbatim, repetition. Here you have an example of it right here. Why? Because the majority of those who heard it the first time heard it wrong. Now that's a sobering thing. You might come to various portions in the Word of God and it seems, well, this chapter or this verse or this statement, it's just repeated over again. Why would it be necessary for God to repeat himself? Do you think he just wanted to bulk out the book a little bit? Weren't enough pages in it, so he repeated the chapter or repeated the word? No, it's because the chances are you or I missed the sense of it the first time. That's what happened here. The Lord repeated himself. Get this, because the majority of those who heard it the first time got it wrong. How many things we get wrong? How many of the Lord's words we miss? But you know, this is the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Bring us back to what Christ did actually say. That's how the Spirit works. Look, in closing, just to John 16. Let's just read the verses. John 16, the verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Part of the ministry of the Holy Ghost is to take the words of Christ to teach us them and to guide us into truth. Why do we need the Holy Ghost? Why do you as an individual Christian need the Spirit of God? Not just to indwell you as a proof and as the evidence that you're a child of God, but you need the Spirit of God to guide you constantly. Why? Because without him, you'll wander out of the truth and into a lie. You'll be like Peter. You'll mishear what he said. You'll pick up on something that is said and you'll embrace nonsense instead of the truth. The Comforter is given to take the words of Christ, to plainly set them before us, to guide us into all truth. You should never open this Bible to read it without praying, Lord, teach me your word. Teach me the word. When we pray before we come to preach in the service, we don't do it just out of ritual. I pray for myself. If you feel you don't need it, well, that's between you and the Lord, but I need it. I need to pray when I come to this word. The Lord will guide me into truth. I'll never be the preacher Peter was. I'll never be the preacher that any of the disciples were. But those men missed something from the mouth of Christ, and I don't want to miss anything. That's why I need the Holy Ghost. Why you need him too. Why we need the ministry of the Spirit. To avoid errors. To avoid confusion. To enter into an understanding of every word that Christ has to say. May the Lord give us that diligence in his word. May he give us that kind of heart that when we're reading it, we go over the words and we make sure we haven't missed anything. That we will be careful even about the little things. For if we miss one word, it could make all the difference between truth and error.